today I'm proclaiming the gospel reading we heard from Luke chapter 24. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you glorified the wounds of your Son Jesus Christ, so give us hope in the resurrection of our bodies and in the end of suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not very common for us to hear the same biblical episode 2 weeks in a row described by two different gospel writers, but that's what we have today. The lectionary has given us Luke's account of the same event that we heard last Sunday from John's gospel, Jesus' appearance in a room to the disciples on the Sunday evening of the first Easter. Here Jesus, who is freshly arisen from the dead that very morning, proclaims, "Peace be with you," to his disciples, his first words of the resurrection. His resurrection has also brought peace, has brought peace between God and humankind. It's brought about peace with the Father, peace also with each other. Back in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was sending out the 70 disciples, he instructed them that whenever they were to enter a house, they should first say, "Peace to this house." Jesus himself now follows this sort of missionary pattern by declaring peace in the house, a pattern that we continue even to this day. We gathered today in this house, God's house, declare the peace of God, the peace of Christ, peace in the forgiveness of sins, peace in the Holy Communion, peace with each other. It's even the mission that we are given to go out into the world to bring peace, to be peacemakers as we bear the name and the mercy of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we heard that it was Thomas in particular who doubted. But in Luke's account that we heard today, it's really all of the disciples that are on this journey from unbelief to joyful worship of the risen Christ. And last week, Pastor Fraser preached about this journey from unbelief to faith. Today we hear that all of the disciples, not just Thomas, all of them were startled and terrified. They even think that they've seen a ghost or a spirit. Let's listen to Jesus' response to them. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus appeals to the disciples' senses. "See," he says, "touch, look." This is partly to refute their claims or their fear that they've seen a ghost. Jesus is showing that he is true flesh and blood, just as he does a bit later on when he eats some fish in their presence. But what is it that Jesus in particular draws their attention to? What is the object of his seeing and touching? He says, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself." Jesus doesn't just draw attention to his generic body, but he draws attention to his wounds in particular. In the Greek text, Jesus is literally saying, "Look at my hands and my feet, that I am myself." He uses the Old Testament name for God, affirming that he himself is the great I am, which Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all testify about, as he goes on to say later in our reading. Jesus here is saying that he is the great I am, and as evidence for this, he points to his glorified wounds. God the Son is identified now with the healed holes in his hands and his feet. The great I am is an I am now with glorified wounds. You see, Jesus is risen and has defeated suffering and death, and yet, mysteriously, the marks of suffering and death remain on him. We know that Jesus is no longer suffering, no longer is he able to die. But the evidence that he once did these things remains on his body. The wounds, though, have been transformed. What once were signs of defeat are now signs of victory. Jesus displays them, he draws attention to them, and even identifies himself with them. They are now wounds of victory. To understand this reality a bit, I think we perhaps can be helped by Shakespeare and from his play Henry V. You may not be surprised to know that it was Pastor Fraser who pointed me to this analogy some years ago. In that play, King Harry, you might remember, is rousing his troops for battle. It's on the eve of St. Crispin's Day, which was a feast for the English at the time. But his soldiers are downcast because they're heavily outnumbered. And so King Harry stirs them up with one of the most famous speeches in Shakespeare. Included are these words: "He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on this vigil feast his neighbours and say, tomorrow is St. Crispian. Then he will strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day." In these rousing words, King Harry points to a time when the wounds that his soldiers are about to receive will no longer be painful, but will be proud symbols of victory. Things even to show off to the neighbours, to invite them round to see and put on a feast to display. And can we not all see, in some ways, everyday life, patterns of everyday life in this too? Children can wear band-aids with a certain pride and enjoy drawing other people's attention to them. What was painful is now evidence that I've made it through. Sportsmen and women often bear injuries that they later remember fondly, even as they wince in pain. Mothers can bear real scars from childbirth, scars that were once very painful, but can now be worn with a certain pride and joy. And I know farmers and fishermen can often tell long stories just from their hands. Well, Jesus' hands and feet have a story too. They tell a tale. His wounds are no longer simply our shame, evidence that we participated in killing the author of life, but are now transformed to be our pride and joy, wounds worth telling our neighbours about, wounds worth putting a feast on ourselves, marks that show what Jesus has gone through for us, wounds which show that we too are now healed. That the blood of Christ which flowed from those wounds has set us free, and that death no longer has power over us. We sing about this mystery in the hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Listen to verse 3. "Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel there on high can fully bear the sight, but downward bends the burning eye at mysteries so bright." What are the bright mysteries? That the wounds of Christ are now glorified in beauty. Beauty even, joyous to behold. And this mystery also extends to us and to our wounds. In the reading that we heard from 1 John today, we heard this: "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." We will be like him. What occurs to Jesus is a pattern also for our resurrected bodies, and so a template for our hope. St. John says here, already we are God's children. This is a present reality. But he says we are still awaiting further transformation in Christ. As many of you well know, not every wound we get in this life mends before our death, before the resurrection of our body. Not every hurt or every scar we bear will be fully healed before we die and are made to be like Christ. We aren't promised that we will always understand our experiences or understand our sufferings or wounds. Of course, we're already children of God, but we are also awaiting an end to our wounds, an end to our suffering. In the Lord of the Rings story, the hobbit Frodo, you might remember, receives great wounds on his quest to destroy the Ring of Power. At one point, he even receives healing treatment at Rivendell, but he's never fully healed, and if you know the story, he continues to bear the pain of the wounds inflicted upon him from time to time. Readers of The Lord of the Rings have sometimes imagined that the author, J.R.R. Tolkien, was referring to his own experiences as a soldier in the First World War. The trauma from that experience could be managed, but never fully healed in this life, and Tolkien knew it well. And so Frodo also bears his wounds even after the battle is won, even after he returns to live in his home in the Shire. And then at the end of the story, Frodo leaves the Shire. He leaves Middle-earth altogether, and he finds healing in a new land, what Tolkien, who was a very devout Christian, called the Undying Land. That's one illustration to help us see that not all of our wounds are healed, even after the battle is over. In fact, many of the wounds in our life almost seem to accrue like barnacles on a ship. But as God's children, we wear our wounds with hope, because we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. We live in this hope already now. It's a hope that is already now purifying us, strengthening us, making us clean. The resurrection of Christ is our joy because we see also in Christ what we will be in him. The wounds with which Jesus identifies are no longer wounds of grief, but wounds of victory. Some of us will even face great wounds that are still to come in our life that we haven't experienced yet. Remember King Harry rousing his troops by talking about wounds they were yet to receive. In a similar way, we too can face the wounds that come our way and the wounds of our past, especially those wounds that we bear for bearing God's name, with great confidence, joy even. That a time is coming when our perishable bodies will be made imperishable, that every tear will be wiped away, that our suffering will come to an end. We have this unshakable hope even as we declare Christ's peace already is with us and already abounds. That on account of his death and resurrection, our burden is light, our shame is covered, our sins are forgiven. And the time is also coming when we will be like Christ, with wounds yet visible, but yet above in beauty glorified. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.